Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about consciousness, the evolution of consciousness. And that's why I have tonight's guests here, because we're talking about a transformation of our minds, our culture, our whole relationship to the universe itself. And I'm talking to Gaylen Popofsky and my co-host for the evening, Jay Wilder. Jay, thanks for joining me today.
Hello, Alan.
Since you brought Gaylen to the program, why don't you talk about how you got connected with Gaylen and what you like about her work?
Sure. Well, about a year and a half ago, however long it's been, I met Gaylen on a telesummit. She was a guest on one of these telesummits and was taken with her work, got her package, and so the story began. We did the group that I was in. We did, what was it, Gaylen? Clearing of the 12 chakras? I forget exactly.
The 12 chakra journey we did, yes.
And that was such a big shift. A lot of old programs that were causing me problems in my life dropped away effortlessly. So then I continued on with having one-on-one private sessions with Gaylen pretty much weekly. And what I really love about Gaylen's work is that she, and I've done a lot of esoteric type things, okay, and she makes all that stuff so simple. It just gets down to common sense. And I would say, she's probably going to have a problem with this, but I would say she's a master at energy work. She can really see the blueprint or the matrix of these little thought forms we get ourselves trapped in, and take them apart and put something new in there. So I've had significant changes in my life. In fact, I went from living in Sedona to moving to India since I've been working with Gaylen. And a lot of it was because I had enough power to do that. That is, follow a big dream of mine, which is to live in India for a while.
But how did Gaylen help you?
Well, it is what I was saying. It's by, I was born into a family that had money issues. Oh, there's not enough money for that. Oh, there's not enough money for that. So the thought of moving to India, I couldn't afford that. You know, I need to stay here and work, because here, there's no, with the internet now, though, I can work here. But I believed, based on my programming from childhood, et cetera, that I couldn't pull that off. I didn't have enough power. But when all that stuff got pulled out, which obviously is an illusion, in a sense, I'm an unlimited God creator, and I can do anything I put my attention on if I have the clarity and the belief that I can do it. So that's how she helped me, was in dismantling old belief structures and creating new ones that are more up to date, kind of like updating your computer with a more powerful operating system.
So, okay, let's get to Gaylen. So, Gaylen, thanks for joining us. How do you work? What exactly do you do? And can you give us a little background about yourself first? Like, where did you come from? I know you're in Australia.
Well, I can. I work really easily, very light with humor. But the background is, back in the 80s, when all the information was coming out, I started off doing, I suppose it was Reiki first and then thought field therapy. So I was traveling around learning. And then I sat down and I learned what I learned. But I realized with all I was learning was great, but nothing put it in a nutshell. And at that point in the 80s or 90s, everything was, there were books coming out in a nutshell. So I thought, if you put life in a nutshell, what would it be? Really simple. If you aren't able to have an empowering response in a certain situation in life, life repeats it until you choose to. So I didn't want to give any power away to anything that me, and if we're the temple of the soul, okay, that God self is within me, so I'm not making up anything new. So at this point, the physical world became a catalyst to produce something in me, whether I chose it, you know, whether I would choose it or not now. So if anything produced an upset, I would say the physical world is a catalyst to release that upset. So I took the power away from something we had made bigger than us. This is a bit of a strange way to put it, but I haven't got a better story yet. If you made a cake, you wouldn't give the cake power over you to control your life. Well, we created a physical world experience. At this point, we've given the cake control, or the physical world control over us. And if we are the creator, which we're the one who chooses everything in our life, why would we make the world bigger than our common sense approach? Very basic story. I've got to get rid of that cake one and think of something different. But even to prove to you, because we think the creator, flashing lights, angel winds, no, it's simply me and you. Who chooses what you wear? Who chooses what you eat? Who chooses where you go? Now, you're choosing all that. Sometimes it might be more intelligent to assess our choices because we may be in a looping pattern and we don't realize we're choosing. But when you know you choose what you eat, you choose what you wear, you choose where you go, you choose what you learn, you choose what you do, well, tell me, who is the creator? It's the person that is choosing, or the being, and that is you. So stop looking for the creator to be something something enormous, something that is too great for us. It's you and it's me. So once we're prepared to accept the simplicity that, hold on, church has been saying for so long that the body is the temple of the soul, which means I have access to an infinite being, the creator, and I have created a body to operate through. So the body is the vehicle, or it also represents us. So the body's a representation of who we are. The infinite self, or the temple of God within the soul, is also who I am. So it's making common sense of stuff that was out of our grasp,
but we create,
and that we thought would just be.
But we're not creating these dramas consciously, right?
Well, interestingly enough, we aren't creating them consciously, but at some point, because if you listen, the subconscious listens to what we say. Now, if we listen to what we say, what we felt, and our attitudes, we would actually catch, oh my gosh, I'm affirming what I don't want. And while I'm affirming it, I'm solidifying that structure to keep appearing. And
like,
not only
give
that.
An example of how we can affirm what we don't want. Can you say that? Can you tell us?
Okay. Well, if we're saying money's hard to get, money's hard to get, money's hard to get. Yeah, I can guarantee you, your subconscious is going to give you money being hard to get. If you want something, if I want a cup of coffee, I'm actually saying I don't have it. So as long as we continue to want something, we're not going to have it. But want is great, because want shows up as I'm wanting that. Now let me see if I would choose to create that. There's a big difference between wanting and choosing. So want can be the information that lets us know what we may choose. But if we keep wanting it, we're simply saying, I haven't got it. So even affirming, I want that, you're simply affirming, I haven't got that cup of coffee. I haven't got that cup of coffee. You know, so it's really common sense. And yet there's so many, there's so much intricacy in something that is really simple. So true intelligence, if it can't be simplified, it's not that intelligent. So we want to simplify everything so we can use it easily. But a lot of the time we're making choices that include struggle, and that's not just terribly bright of us.
Well, would you say I have money? I have a lot of money. I have abundant money. I'm made of money. I mean, would you just have to say that to get money?
The best thing to say is I have my perfect amount of money. Because listen, if I say I have my perfect amount of money, and I let it go, I'm not harping on it. And because I've said my perfect amount, I'm not stressed or pulling. I find whenever I say I have my perfect amount of that, or I'm my perfect body weight, it takes the ego coming in that says you've got to count this, you've got to look at it, you've got to put pressure, you've got to stress. So I'm really at ease with it. So we're saying a lot of things we're not at ease at. I want $100,000, and all of a sudden that creates stress for us. Now that's counteractive. But when I say, okay, I'm just going to say I really don't want it hard. I have my perfect amount of money. And if we feel great, yeah, that feels really good. What happened? We're opening doors more because of the good feeling and the openness we're being when we say it, and the not now punishing ourselves or counting money or letting that part of us that needs to control us come in. So for the best result, okay, I have my perfect amount of money and yeah, that feels really good. And doors start to open and it's so easy. But as soon as we say, I have this amount, now I have to make it happen, or I have this amount and it's no, I don't, that's actually conflict with the statement. But when we celebrate, it's putting a celebration with it, to put it in a nutshell. Celebrating, I have my perfect amount.
But for me, the perfect amount, I feel I don't need money, the perfect amount. But I want money more, so it's like there's a conflict there, what I think the perfect amount is and what, you know, and wanting to have.
Perfect amount is going to be your perfect amount, and because you haven't put an amount on it, it may be more. But you just said you don't want money.
No, did I not hear you say? I don't think about that. I like having money, of course. Everybody likes having money, but I don't think of even having an amount or not an amount or something like that. You know, I don't think along those terms.
So you're already creating wealth in your life?
Yes, I mean, I always have enough what I need, you know.
You said the word enough. Is that saying it's enough, or because you actually said enough, what story's behind enough? Is that just getting by or just being practical?
That's, I think I have to clarify, and maybe Jay can jump in. The perfect amount would mean for me just getting by. That's my definition, and that doesn't seem to be sufficient. So that's my. I need to redefine it.
Right. Yeah. So. Right, Jeff? That's not a perfect amount then.
But it's my mind. The perfect amount is. Yeah, I have to reprogram myself to think what the just getting by is the perfect amount. You know what I mean, Jay? Right.
Well, yeah, and I think the important thing to be aware of here is what's the feeling behind that statement. If it's said, oh, I have enough money, is really the energy, the feeling behind it, but I can't do everything I want to do, or I don't feel good about it, is more the point, versus, yeah, I have enough money, golly. You know, see what I'm saying?
If you want to create a healthy relationship with money, money is awesome. We get to have adventures. We get to experience things. So we want to take greed out of the equation. So when we're having, say, the perfect amount, notice it's light. We're sort of celebrating, yeah, that would be great. I would love to do that. So at that point, we're not putting restrictions in. But when you said just getting by, there's resentment, there's hostility. So that's what I'm picking up, because they said remember, there are a lot of different viewpoints about money, even in the 60s and 70s. So you're telling me that there's simply just getting by, just having enough. Like Jay said, there's energy attached to that. So we want to hold that and put that in a box. You can still create money by having the perfect amount, but then get back to looking at the resentments underneath. So would you like me to delete the energy from that just getting by or having enough?
Yeah, I would like you to do that, but I want you to tell me how you actually do the deletion.
Oh, okay. It's one, I can feel your energy, because what I'm really good at is tuning into what's underneath it. And I've done the you and give commands to, but I just give a command to delete it. But when you bring something to the light, it's such a relief for your system. If I say, now that's hate, that's resentment, I'm not putting any judgment or viewpoints. So I'm just saying, great, let's just release it. So a part of you actually feels relieved that it actually comes out and it's okay. And then we go to the next one and the next one and the next one. And even if I don't call them, I just say, wow, that's a big, massive upset. Let's just get all of that upset and make you strong to receiving all of that upset of just having enough and just getting by, because I'm not allowed to when they said I had to be like this. So all of the grief and the upset and the fury and the distortions and the insanity that goes with telling an infinite being that you're in a box, you're not going to fit in, you're not going to belong. So all of the justifications and righteousness you may be using to defend that pattern that I have to follow the old school or the old way it was to fit in. So there's a huge story under this. It's not just getting by with you, it's fitting in.
Yes,
it's being accepted.
Right.
It's meeting everybody's expectation. Yes. And yet you're being loyal to a cause that's draining you and not letting you have fun. So all of the loyalty that you're choosing that once probably felt good and now it feels like damn resentfulness, collapsing all those effects to the zero point field and strengthen and clear exit portals. At this point, we're going to see a big drain. Now, remember, imagination creates universes and realities.
Wait, say
when you
that
start
again.
To plan
wait,
your day
can,
in the morning.
Wait, can you say that
imagination,
again?
Imagination creates realities and universes. When you plan something, even a cup of coffee, you imagine the picture first. So imagination is an extremely powerful ability we have to create. A lot of us use it for fantasy, which does not create a happy effect. It's a type of drug we create because we might have created wealth for us in one lifetime. That's going off actually a bit off the course. And then we created it, but we haven't been able to hold it in. So we can create easy enough because look at all around you, deficit or not, lack or wealth, you created it. It's actually harder work to create deficit because it's not so much fun. But so imagination, it's not just the tool, it's our creating ability. So when I say open that big drain plug at the bottom, you can feel the picture of that big drain plug and how good it feels to let all of that go so that now you're contributing yourself to the release of the upset. Imagination, and then we close off the drain plug. And now when you consider money and having enough, how do you feel?
I feel good. I feel there's a sense of satisfaction in a way.
Yeah, because we're taking the judgments and the viewpoints and the charge off it and unveiling that, oh, my God, there was so much in that that you hadn't looked for. So you still keep, yeah, money, I have the perfect amount. Then you get back to, okay, what's this upset I have in me that I'm blaming or putting on money? Because money's great. I love it. It's fun. The perfect amount it creates easily. So that's taken care of. Now let me go back anytime I'm contradicting or creating a not so good relationship with money. So there's more you've got there too. Like I can also, your body, your energy fields can show me what's showing up there. But so can just talking. So there's so many effects that you can tune into, probably because I'm familiar with it, but to me it's as normal as any conversation. So I'm also picking up with a feeling of responsibility that you have, and that responsibility has become so heavy for you that it's draining, exhausting, and tiring. And so making money can actually come forward as being responsible, which you really don't want. So there's a confusion between having the perfect amount of money or money and responsibility, which is simply really draining for you.
Can you delete those programs?
Yeah, it's easy. So feel when you think money and, oh my God, I'm just so heavy. Who says money? Just get that away from me. I'm over that responsibility. So all of the times that you've had people dump on you to say they have to fix it, that you have to save the world and help them. So all of the time, everybody's weighted you down with responsibility, their ideas, their opinions, they're telling you every which way to go and dumping an amazing amount of universal toxins on you. And you haven't known that you don't have to even take them. So strengthen you to receiving. If you receive it, you neutralize. So when you receive all of that feeling, oh, yuck, these people have just horrible energy, but now I'm stuck with their horrible energy. And, of course, you don't want to say to that person, your energy is horrible. So you have to hide and cloak it to cover up so you don't have to feel uncomfortable. So all of the cloaking and covering you've been doing to not let them show, not let them see how horrible their energy is, because now you just feel, oh, my God, I've got all of this horrible stuff. So strengthen you to receive all of that. Be strong to receiving completely, totally, and fully, but be strong to not choosing it. So disentangle all of the infinite expression that people choose to dump their energy and the weight of their energy and collapse it all to the zero-point field, strengthen and clear exit portals, and align you with the ease and the grace of being you, of creating your own adventures with joy and fun and being an infinite being with a body. So now when you think about responsibility and money, how does that feel?
It doesn't feel as much a burden, yes. It doesn't feel like...
Okay, so you've still got a burden, which is a different word. So feel burden, because now you're burdened with lugging a weight around. We cleared the feeling how you felt about people's toxic energy that you couldn't express, but you'd been wearing it. Now feel this is something you've got a burden that you're carrying at the lower back behind you. So all of the burden, it's like you've had a mission And yeah, you do. You may have a mission, but the mission is meant to be joyful and fun. So anything that's joy and fun breaks down with ease and grace. So all of the heavy mission of stuff you had to carry for other people, because you've got this whole trail behind you of things you've got to fix. They're not even your things. So all of the junk that you inherited that you have to fix. So all of the old secondhand stuff you've been carrying along trying to fix instead of just choosing to delete the old structures. So all of the fixing you've been trying to do that never got fixed, so you're still having it behind you, and all of the effort you're putting into looking like and feeling like, when damn, you've got the heavy load behind you because you really can't fix it and you haven't got the solution, but you've got to appear light while you're carrying this huge weight. So all of the misinformation and misunderstanding that you had to fix things when you simply had to delete all of the effects, the old structures, dust to dust, and choose ease and grace. So all of the not choosing you've been doing because you simply decided to keep everything behind you and look for a solution of something will turn up to fix it when it won't. We don't want to fix. Today, fixing is dated. We collapse to the zero-point field strength and clear exit portholes. And choose with ease and grace. And instead of you putting in so much energy to be appearing to be light while you're carrying a heavy bunch is insanity. So all of the heaviness you've been carrying and covering with the appearance of being light, which has been exhausting and draining and caused you to be so unhappy, collapsing all of those effects to the zero-point field strength and clear exit portholes and align you with fun and joy and feeling balanced and stable, and choosing ease and grace and fun and joy and adventure instead of the density of the old world ways. Now, how does that burden feel for you now?
That doesn't feel like anything like that anymore. It doesn't feel like a burden. But can I do this for myself as far as deleting?
Your voice sounds different, Alan. Sounds much more resonant, much fuller. Really? It doesn't have stress in it. It doesn't have as much stress in it. Yeah. Anyone listening to this later on should back it up and listen to you. The tone of your voice before and after what Galen just did. But, yeah. But the reason I wanted to step in here, though, is to say, so when I have sessions with Galen, I have these amazing clearings and whatnot, and they're recorded, and I listen to them again. And I get the same benefit, if not more, because it takes down a deeper level. So I just want to point out to you, Alan, you'll be able to listen to this recording again and get even more clearing that you're getting now.
I think it goes beyond the conscious mind.
And Galen, exactly, it does. You know, the conscious mind's only 10%. The 90% is the part that really creates our reality. So it's by making shifts in that, using the 10%, that we get to have grace and ease and joy, if that's what we're choosing with the 10%. And Galen, could we do this? This is just a thought popped in my head. Have the intention that anyone listens to this recording gets the same benefit Alan's getting, for themselves.
That everybody can, as I do it for Alan, everyone else can join in if they choose. So it's just, okay, let me just jump into that. Yeah, they can, of course. And do you know what the most fun is? We're all co-creating together. We're sharing as powerful beings, and we're all showing up and just appreciating this. So there's no therapist and no one who needs helping. No, I'm simply sharing stuff with you. And that's the easy part. It's light, it's fun, and I'm not weighed down. Now, some of the stuff I delete for people is horrific, but we do it in such a way it still remains light and easy for them, so no more going back and rehashing stuff for more than that. So we make ease of the heavier stuff because people have been through so much. All of the lifetimes we've had to this point have been based on war, having horrific deaths, horrific stuff happening around us. So while we may have unknowingly be a part of those creations, it's still been a challenge. But for now, at this point, the energy is so easy where the intelligence level is easier. Alan, you said, can you do this ourselves? The more aware and present we're being, and actually become aware of, oh my gosh, what did I just say? Do I really want to repeat that? What's behind it? Yes, we do that by self-investigation, but it's not a lot of work. It's just, wow, it's awareness. So it's being aware. A lot of us live in daydreams or rushing into the future or holding yourself back in the past, which if we're doing that, if we're really a powerful creator, we got all the time in the world. So as soon as you go into rush, you're telling the universe you're not powerful. You're a subject of. But when you're the creator, it's like no one rushes you. You can do it in your own time. So whenever you go into rush or I'm too scared to do it, they're both telling the universe you're powerless. So we want to go in the viewpoint that we're a powerful creator. And everything I teach, I come from that perspective. If you need to control people and you only think you're powerful when you control people, well, you ain't that powerful. So many people today are trying to control or manipulate others, which is telling the universe they're not very powerful. So we stop buying into authorities as being powerful. So we're getting our powerfulness back by not buying into old stories and old things that used to be. We're also going to stop doing it ourselves because we've sort of copied patterns that don't work. So it's really just making assessments. Is this intelligent? Is there a benefit for me if I behave this way, or does it always end up with me getting egg on my face? So we want to assess our own behavior. So it's becoming our own assessors. And if this is your life and it's the states and thoughts and words you're telling you that is creating the external world to solidify around you or pulling you in situations that equal what you're feeling, thinking and being, then who's got the power to change that or not? You have, because you're the instigator that's allowing the alchemy within you to create what's around you. So no more they're doing it to me, because the more you're saying they're doing it to me, you're affirming they're doing it to you. And not that people may not be, but as soon as you buy into it, that you're locking it in. But as soon as you say, no, I'm taking my power back, I'm choosing to step out of this, I'm choosing to change it, you're getting your reins back. So whenever you think a situation outside of you is bigger than you, it's time to start coming from the viewpoint that, no, hold on, if I'm creating this, if I'm this powerful, is this even my situation? Do I even need to be in it? Can I step out of it? Am I creating this game, or am I being pulled into it? So there's a lot of ways we can actually straight away gain power. But you're choosing it now, so it's being aware that you can choose and you are choosing anyway. So not choosing is choosing.
So you're saying anything in our life is something we've created to be a part of, and we're bigger than those things in our lives because we created those things in our lives, right? Is this what you're saying?
I am saying that, and I'm also saying if you've actually thought something was bigger than you, then you're going to have to get a fair bit of you back or delete the effect that you've made something bigger than you and delete the fear or the terror of it being bigger than you and crushing you. So that if something's made bigger than you, there's going to be energy in you that needs to be changed, and patterns, and they can be changed very quickly to get that power back. So that's not even a long thing today. But yeah, if you've made something bigger than you, that has to be changed. So there can be discomfort, but it's only discomfort for the time you're aware of it till it deletes.
So there's seconds of discomfort. Could you just talk us into the process of deleting something, like how one could do it step by step?
You can't pick up rubbish until you're aware of it. So if you didn't like... There's a lot of war going on at the moment, a lot of conflict, a lot of fighting, a lot of stabbing, a lot of shooting. Now, viewpoints and judgments freeze frame time. So if you have a viewpoint, something is good or bad. Now, I'm not saying that viewpoint of judging it holds that in place. So whenever you see violence, instead of going into viewpoints and judgments, you're not agreeing it's okay, but it's like I choose harmony. So instead of going into saying that's good or that's bad, which locks the situation in because there's a judgment in good or bad, it's simply seeing it, choosing to have harmony, and then deleting any effects of the old judgments you had. Because making violence good or bad, and I'm not agreeing to violence, but making it good or bad is a judgment which freeze frames it in time. Uh-huh. because it may be bad if they're attacking you, but if you're attacking someone for your life, then it can become good. So we actually don't want a judgment on it, but choosing harmony in your life is going to delete the effects of you having to recreate a situation like that, or to having to create one in your reality. So as soon as you go into judging something as good or bad, it's okay, I do not want that created in my reality. So I choose to create harmony, and I delete the effects of old judgment that I had on those things. Mm-hmm. So it's using the physical world as a catalyst to make choices instead of going into viewpoints of good or bad or right or wrong. Judgment is when you make something, you solidify something.
I see.
It's not agreeing. Yeah, it's not okaying war, but we by choosing harmony, you're creating a new choice. So therefore, what you're seeing is simply pattern.
If something's happening that I don't like, I don't say that's awful. I choose to see it as something where I'm not judging, but I prefer something different. Is that, would you say that?
You can use it as a catalyst. Well, initially not liking it is a judgment. So you want to be neutral to liking it or not liking it, but choosing what you would now choose.
Well,
forget about preference. Just, yeah, well, what you prefer to choose, yeah. But initially, once you may not have liked it. So you'll have an old judgment on it that you want to delete as well, because, like I said, you can't put rubbish in the bin until you pick it up.
Right, but if I don't have a judgment, or in a sense don't care, why would I care to change that then? I have to have some.
Well, not caring is a judgment. If I care too much, the opposite of that is not caring at all. So if you don't care, well, the universe is thinking he doesn't care, so we throw the energy away.
Right, but if, so, I mean, if, how do I?
Caring is not an issue.
Okay, so what would you say? If I don't prefer something, I still have a judgment about it because I find that something would be better or something.
Well, then choose harmony, choose elegance, choose wealth, choose happiness, choose to enjoy your adventure. So there's always a choice operating and an opportunity to re-choose. But when you say, oh, I don't care about that, well, you're really opening yourself up to have toilet water slapped all over you, because not caring is saying, I'll take anything. If you say, I'm going with the flow, go with the flow. Well, whose flow? Is that flow leading to the sewage? So you want to choose, no, I choose to create my flow based on harmony, peace, and fun, and joy, and wealth. So I go with my flow. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to go with the general viewpoint of going with the general flow, because there's all sorts of toilet crap in general flow. So it's listening to what you're saying and asking, is this an intelligent choice? To say, I don't care, what will I end up with? But you're also realizing that if you're going into the effect of I don't care, the polarity is, if it is going to be I care too much. So you're going to have to let go of both at the same time, or one is going to be keeping the other in. If you're going to be too sweet, you're going to be too hateful. Now, if I get back to why a lot of our disturbance has happened, so we stop judging ourselves and get out of duality more quickly. When we were born, we needed approval from our parents for survival. So little children did what parents wanted to get their approval, even as babies, so they could survive. So when you get approval and be the good person, you really tire of that, because I'll be good, and that's now I really don't want to be good. I'm getting really hateful and frustrated because you're an infinite being, and if you have to behave good, which means you've just put yourself in an uptight container that all of your energy is going to be going insane because you're more powerful than that. So that creates distortions, deceptions, hating, wanting to trip people up, wanting to get back. But if you just were allowed to be yourself, that would never happen. So we're really learning to get back just to being ourselves. Now, the quickest way to do that is to, okay, I decide to enjoy being me and enjoy everything I do in my life, which enjoyment allows you to be you. Mm-hmm. Sadistic, cruelty, payback, payout, beating someone, that actually creates conflict and is a result of having to be good, which leads you to wanting to be bad. So not needing approval, not being controlled by disapproval, simply choosing to be who you be or who you are, which is actually who you be, because who we've been being isn't really ourselves. We've been so much lesser than ourselves, and then pretending to be more than us, the good person, and usually you'll find the con artist under the good person. So it's really getting back to such a blissful state, because we haven't been that so much of our lifetimes. So when we're ourselves, there's nothing that is better than being ourselves. It feels so good to be you.
How come we got distorted that way?
Needing approval to survive, having to fit into someone else's container, and having to not knowing we could be ourselves, not knowing that it was by our choices we created realities. So when I go back to look at, a lot of people chose to come down and have a physical world experience, but everyone I've looked at, we chose our reality based on a really teenage, what I'd call teenage immaturity. So when we came down to initially experience the physical reality, we decided to experience it in a certain way. And we didn't choose an effect that created stability for us allowed us to be ourselves. So we initially seem to be quite immature. A lot of the things I've looked at or people who've wanted to show up, they basically wanted to come here to be better than everybody else, to be more powerful, or simply to have fun. Now, that's not a structure that's going to be supportive of you. So all of us being here, what we have learned is what we do not want to create, and that the old structure didn't work. So at this point of time, we're all stepping out of the old structure where nothing worked, really, to, okay, I'm going to choose a structure of reality while choosing ease and grace. So if something's going to be too hard and no fun, we wouldn't choose it. So something that allows us to enjoy and have fun and have an adventure and bring wealth in our life, well, that's a solid structure. We can actually operate very well under that. But basically, a lot of people chose to a beautiful structure but with no substance in it. So it's now using intelligent, well, we're actually here to make the changes to create the realities we would prefer in preference to the immature realities we've created in the past. Now, also, I've said everybody's in other lifetimes has created wealth. But if you've been wealthy and haven't been able to maintain that wealth, someone's murdered you and taken it or threatened you and taken it. Now, Sarit, we're going to be challenged if we choose to create wealth. We're going to be challenged. Are you ready to show up and claim it? Are you going to step back and pretend it's too much again, or he bullied me and so I gave it to him? Or are you going to be in effect again? Or we have to meet the challenge. So we can choose something, but we're also going to have to show up to say, yeah, I'm willing to be present to own my choice. Whereas if everybody created what they wanted, we'd be living in a world of so many spoiled brats because we just keep creating. But when you create something and you're going to show up and own it, you're going to value what you create. Whereas up until now, we've created, but perhaps not valued what we've created. If you're creating peace and harmony in your life, now that's something to value. So you're not going to let anyone come in and contaminate it. So if anyone made you angry, you think, no, I refuse to buy into getting angry and dropping my reality of peace and harmony to one of anger. So you're starting to value what you're creating. If I get angry, I'm compromising everything I've just chosen with harmony and grace. So it's choosing not to get angry, and if you choose it, that's fine. You can create the reality based on anger, which will create distortion and disturbances. But if someone else chooses to create them, we don't want to let them influence our reality. But to this point, we've been taking things personally, and I can understand why, and dropping our frequency. If someone takes something off us, we get out of harmony and want to get them back. Well, as soon as we want to get them back, we drop our reality to a lower frequency, so we create poverty and openness to other people coming and attack us as well. We haven't known how common sense that approach is. You get angry, you drop your frequency. Now, if someone says they want to steal something off me and I get upset, by getting upset, I've created a weakness in my field and they can. But I say, that's interesting, but I'm not buying into that story, and you can own your own creation. Then obviously they cannot come in and take anything off me. So it's learning where we're dropping our reaction, and we can be aware of, oh my God, I just went into anger and revenge. Now, if I'm emanating at that frequency, that's going to attract a like frequency or situation that's equivalent to me. Do I really want to do that? So we're looking to find out how we've been sort of ignorant to what our responses have been opening and attracting in our life. So we can actually really be powerful without waiting for someone to turn a light on. We can start waking up and being intelligent ourselves.
So Jay, you've had experience with this, right? Talk about your experience in India there.
Well, there's plenty of opportunities in India to get angry. It's an ongoing process, first of all. But I had a thought here. I mean, I don't know what to say to that other than what Gaylene is saying.
You said you didn't have any water. You said your landlady.
Exactly. Yeah, we've talked before about some of the challenges here. So it's doing what Gaylene says, and I'm getting more and more where I can just stay neutral, and I have a greater sense of being a choice. And if I catch myself getting wrapped up in my judgments, I can interrupt that quicker and sooner than ever before and make a different choice. Reset. But what I was going to suggest is Gaylene, maybe because Gaylene's said a few times, would delete that. Gaylene, what do you think about teaching the golden ring method? Because that's something I've done and still do, to delete things when I catch them.
Yeah, that's a fun method. It can be easy. You can if something's upsetting you. Now, this is a really powerful way to be a creator. And if you have an upset, you imagine two golden rings, like wedding rings or golden Clark round pools even. So you've got two golden rings and you've got three lines separating them. Now, I only put the three lines on, separate mind, body, and spirit, because most people are working on that. Now, we have an upset. Say someone's upsetting you. You put that person in one gold ring and all of the anger and that frustration. So you're putting that in the same gold ring with the upsets. So you have a ring for all of the upsets, for all of the anger, the frustration, whatever you can think of can go in there. The colors you're seeing, the way you're feeling, what that person's doing to you, the results of what they've been doing. And what you're doing, you're separating the upset from you. Now, this is similar to the delete method, but it lets people have more time and space to choose what is really making them upset so they can get all of the layers themselves. And then as you separate mind, body, and spirit and put yourself in the other gold ring, you can imagine their rings full of pink, because we can say pink equals compassion or unconditional love. So you simply put all of the upset in the gold ring, separate mind, body, and spirit, put you in the other gold ring. And when you're feeling neutral, that you're satisfied that everything that upset you, the sadness, the anger, the grief, the fury, the frustration, the tiredness, the person, the way the person's angry and terrifying you, put everything in the ring, separate mind, body, spirit, and simply say issue resolve. And you actually feel the issue resolve, because you just feel that sense of space, that works as well. It's another similar delete formula, but it lets the person have time to consider the upset themselves, so they get to see it from all angles and viewpoints and put it in the golden ring themselves. So there's a lot of easy ways to do this. And because we're deleting it with ease and grace, we're not arguing, we're not fighting, we're not creating a physical world upset. We're working on the energy level. Because everything we see in the world is actually dated. It's already been thought of and is showing up. So it's a lot easier if we don't create a physical world mess to clean up. So if we delete stuff energetically, we don't have to waste our time with arguing and having an upset in the physical world, which takes a bit of energy to clean up, if you ever clean up upsets once you start arguing outside. Arguing doesn't work. So cleaning up any mess of an argument by using a technique like the golden rings and placing everything in a ring, separate mind, body, spirit, you in the other ring, issue resolve, it's a really easy and effective technique to delete a lot of stuff at once.
So can we just, that's what we just did now by thinking about it. We did it, right?
Yeah, I did actually purposely put some upset in there. Yeah, that of my work, everybody, it can be included to if they choose to delete the stuff. You'll find even while we're talking, because we're talking without judgment, things will be letting go and changing even through speaking.
Uh-huh. But doesn't that happen every time people talk and without judgment?
When they talk without judgment, but a lot of people, when they talk, it's about them and they take energy off the people who are listening to. So you can listen to someone and go away feeling worse. Or if you're talking and you're talking to people who are draining you, you can talk to people and feel worse. So yes, but when you speak without judgment, everybody benefits.
Right. But are you saying you have a special energy that helps assist people? Is this what you're saying?
I don't call it special. I've probably developed it by clearing a lot and making assessments and operating from a certain frequency. That frequency probably contributes to everybody, but we all have our own unique way. So when you put work in, or when you give your attention to a certain field, of course you become good at it. That's normal. So my frequency may be at a higher level because I'm deleting for everyone all the time, which affects me. I also always spend time learning and growing and cleaning up more of my stuff. So my field's operating at quite a good frequency. So of course it's going to have a shift result for everybody. That's not being special. That's just a result of making shifts in me. Everybody has the potential to do that.
So everyone should be deleting their programs to make for a peaceful planet, right?
Well, if they choose it, if people, this is everybody's life. The only person who should be choosing your life is you. So if this, everyone who actually can grasp that this is their life is affected by how they're feeling, why wouldn't they? So it's a choice of being inspired to have your life and knowing it's your life and knowing it's not easy and knowing if you don't choose it, well, no one's really going to do it for you. So, yeah, everyone can run with their own lives. You know, it's to think you need – we've given our energy away to many authorities and we've been told that you're the power, but so what? It doesn't mean anything. But when you realize it's the thoughts and feelings and what you're emanating and what you're responding to – it's like, oh, my God, I really can have the power because I can change that. So when people know they really can change it and they're not just a victim of circumstance and they get that this is my life, I can actually choose to enjoy it, yeah, they can run with it and change it. But up to if you're sitting there expecting someone else or God or a fairy godmother to come along and tap you, who taps an infinite being that's powerful? I mean, it's a choice. It's right. Entertaining the possibilities and going from there.
So why don't we look at just the big picture, like what's happening planetarily? Do you tap into those levels, collective consciousness?
I do. And what's happening planetarily is everything's in chaos because when you clean out a cupboard, you get chaos and nothing's working at the moment to give people the idea that they need to start making inner changes. So we're looking at all of the upset coming out and people blaming other people without cleaning up their own backyard. And no one's actually wrong or right. It's the accumulation of so many judgments and viewpoints and hatred that we're tagging on other people or other ideas and righteousness. So nothing is working because it's not working, which is great because it's letting everybody know loudly that if they continue playing the games and operating from the lower viewpoints that they're operating from, nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse. So they have a choice. So, yeah, you have to have the mess out front and all the mess is really thrown in front of everybody so they can clearly see. Now, if we go back to World War II, when that world started, young men were thinking, well, we'll go to war. It's a bit, you know, it's something important. It's something that's exciting. And someone started making arms and guns. And it gave people purpose. But after people experienced so many of their loved ones dying, and so much horrificness, we had a worldwide choice of people choosing peace. So everybody decided to choose peace. And we did, and everything started to change. Obviously not enough, but at this point, choosing peace will start the ball rolling, but also choosing to respond from more states. So the individual gets the reward of that. So, yeah, we saw the powerfulness of World War II when everyone started to choose peace, and we did, they did, and we got a result of the war dissolving, but we didn't keep choosing it long enough or making enough choices. Now we've got all of the rubbish and the violence and the finger-pointing and the disagreements and the disharmony and the divorce rate at a high level. So divorce within, you know, hatred within relationships and families and communities. And, of course, that mess is reflected outside ourselves into other countries, blaming other countries, just like we do in our household in relationships. So it's deciding that unless we choose to come from better places, we're actually creating the effects ourselves.
Mm. Well, this is all great. Because you're really just you're empowering people to take action in their lives, yes.
But mainly so not to be the good person, because it's out of being saintly. Spiritual is simply the consideration of an outcome. It's not getting dressed up in a white habit. If you consider the outcome of a behavior you're choosing, that's a spiritual aspect that we all have. So the flaw in the system, as we haven't been coming from our spiritual aspect, which is considering the outcome of what we're choosing, is hatred will actually produce lower realities. Being someone will produce lower realities.
But the higher realities are produced. The higher realities are produced by love.
Well, I don't even want to put that to people. Let's just get them choosing peace and harmony. If we can just decide for the individual, higher realities. But people are so confused about what love is. I wouldn't even go there. People are pretending to be loving, having to be loving. If you just be yourself, that's enough. Because when we be ourselves and we're an infinite being that is love, we don't need to be loving. We just want to be ourselves. So all of the pretending that we've been doing, that we're spiritual and loving and good and bad, it's that crap of role plays we do not want, because they're keeping the duality in. So forget about love. It's too hard for everybody to get a grasp on that. And everyone's trying to be loving. And if you'll be loving, you're using energy, and you're going to end up being hating because you're exhausted with being, which is a loving state. But forget about that. It's too confusing. So at this point, it's simply aiming to be you.
All right.
You know, the loving thing has just distorted everything, because we've pretended to be something we're not. And that's made us more hateful. So it's just decide to enjoy your life because you deserve it. Forget about anybody else. We're doing it. If the individual cleaned up their life for themselves, and the next person did it for themselves, and the next person did it for themselves, yay, that's happening. But when you do it for someone else, what happened to you? You're betraying you. Why would you be putting others above you? If everyone is an infinite being, then why would you be being an infinite being for someone else and saving someone else when they can save themselves, and you're forgetting about you?
So
it's time to start doing it for you. Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you. I totally agree. We should wrap this up. How can people get in touch with you?
I have a website, www.dynamicempowermentforyourlife.com. Or you could Google Gaylene Popofsky, and stuff will come up. So whatever's the easiest way, you'll find my website comes up with the World Dynamic Empowerment for Your Life, or however. But
spell your last name again, Gaylene.
It's a challenge. POPOV for Victor, SKI.
And so, Jay, do you have any final words, Jay?
No, just thank you. This was really good. I enjoyed doing this. And I want to encourage anybody listening to this to listen to it numerous times. You will empower yourself by doing that and be able to shift realities into grace.
Thank you, Gaylene. Thank you for taking the time to explain your work. Maybe we'll do some follow-ups at some point, okay?
That would be good. Maybe if people told you what they would want to clear, we can just do a show on clearing a few big issues, because even a little issue has quite a lot in it. And that's really fun, because everyone who didn't even think they had that issue will be affected in some way, because it will be in a part of their life. Because as humans, we're all pretty much carrying a lot of the same stuff. We just don't think we are.
Right. I totally agree. But thank you both. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay, too. Thank you for your invitation, for Jay, for assisting and setting up the talk, and Alan, for your invitation and including me and allowing me. And to everyone listening, because there's a lot of information that once people are like waiting for this common sense approach, because they already know it. I'm just reminding people what they know. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you. Bye.